If we've been your job search besties and helped you in some way, there's a cool way you can support the show. Shout us a virtual coffee.
As an independent podcast, we couldn't do what we do without your support. Head to buymeacoffee.com/interviewboss.
If you keep us caffeinated, we'll keep the content coming. You kind of have to pretend that you're telling an alien. It's their first day on Earth. They don't know what anything is. They're a Martian. They're like, I have no humanly worldly context. And you have to just spell it out. Hey everyone, and welcome back to Interview Boss. My name is Emma. I'm a radio journalist who's teamed up with my sister to give you advice, inspiration, and support when you're looking for a new job. Sarah is a HR and recruitment professional, and together we're excited to give you all the tips, tricks, and behind-the-scenes knowledge to help you in your career.
Hey Em, and welcome back everyone. We are always telling you to shoot your shot, so in every episode, we tell you about a listener who's done exactly that. This episode, we're shouting out Mel, who supported the show and bought us 3 coffees.
Mel said, "Hi, first and foremost, I appreciate so much what you've both put together for the world to learn, grow, and reference. So far, the episodes I've listened to have been very informative and entertaining. Thank you for putting the added time and effort into the rest of the world. My question, and apologies if you've covered this, feel free to just direct me to the episode and not waste any time. How do I put into words, this position is very undervalued? I want to apply, but I feel like it's at minimum 30K off the mark. Is it worth going through with an interview to then attempt a highball negotiation? It feels like when you're house shopping and it's 100K overpriced, so you put in an offer way the hell below, but then how do you know if you don't try? So I'm just looking for insight from the pros. Also, I'm in the US and there are various schools that are indoors and outdoors. Just depends on where, but the same city will have both. But yes, all pretty much have lockers, more from 6th grade and up, which I feel is how all the movies showcase, but maybe I'm only referencing US-produced films. Decorating and organizing them can happen at any time, before the first day of school, lunchtime, breaks in between, but your locker game could really up your status, lol. Figured I could answer one of your questions. Now, for context, in one of our episodes, we somehow got on to talking about schools in the US and how we read online that they're mainly indoors and there's no, like, outdoor buildings, and I was questioning the lockers and the logistics. When are we getting time to, you know, confetti them and bedazzle them?
Yeah, when are we decorating our lockers? So you like doing it in between classes? I don't even know. How do we get onto these topics sometimes? I'm not even sure.
I don't know. In Australia, we just carry a backpack that weighs about 7 kilos and we all get scoliosis from carrying it around all day. So that's how we do it here.
And do you know what? I don't even think that's universal because I'm sure there's schools in Australia that have lockers as well.
It would be the minority though.
Well, I'm not sure about that. I'd love to hear from other people on that. We'll have to do a poll on this on Spotify.
But to quickly answer her question, how do you feel about going for the job, even though it seems like they're paying 30K too little?
I guess my question is, how does she know that? It sounds like they may have had a conversation about salary, in which case, if they've already said this is the budget for the role, then going forward with it, it just seems a little bit like not in good faith without having that conversation being like, I'm expecting this. Are they happy for you to go forward with that in mind? However, if she's only just basing it on maybe the ad and there's been no conversation, then I am a little bit more open to it because companies can actually get this stuff wrong and they may not have realized that they've really undervalued the role. And it can be one of the things that helps them get the additional budget if they say, okay, well, all these people who are in budget don't have the skills we're looking for. This person does, and they're way out of budget. I think our problem is we need to increase our budget for this role. So it can happen. It has happened. That is a real thing. But I just think it depends on the context of what you've talked about so far. Like if you've had a conversation about salary and you've said, yeah, I understand that that's the budget, I don't think you're going forward in good faith, then also secretly hoping that they're going to change everything about that. But if you just haven't heard anything and that's what it's been advertised as, like, I think it's okay to kind of go, yeah, look, I did notice that. My expectations are here. Yeah. Is there any kind of place to move?
Sure. Love it. Thank you so much, Mel. I'm glad we're helping you on your journey. And thank you for the insider scoop on lockers in the US. It's my Roman Empire. I think about it all the time. I just imagine schools in the US are like the Lizzie McGuire TV series. That's what I'm going with. But before we get into this episode, if you need more help than we can fit in a podcast, go check out our website for free templates, coaching services, and our interview academy. This week, we are talking about having job ad literacy, being able to interpret a job ad and understand what that job would really be like. This is such a skill and can be tricky because some job ads absolutely suck.
Totally. And on the other side of the fence, this is something that I am incredibly passionate about. Whenever I have been anywhere near recruitment, I take time, care, effort, and pride in writing an excellent job ad. And I've had person after person respond to ads that I've written and say, it was the ad. I wasn't going to apply here, you know, the role itself, but the ad made me stop and I had to apply. And I'm so excited about it. And I'm like, good, because I think personally, I think I do a good job of talking about the real situation. It's not just a glittery getting people to stop in their tracks, but it's a real version of what's actually good about being here and also who it might not be really right for as well. So I think this is a real art. I was already concerned about the state of job ads in the world at the beginning of my career. Lord only knows where we're going to go from here now that those skills were never very common in the first place. And then now with AI, I feel like it's just about to get worse. So I think having this skill is really helpful. Now, Em, we've done episodes on like, you know, reading between the lines of a job ad before. This one's a little bit different to that because this is not necessarily like you're looking for particular exact phrases that we're going to tell you to look for. This one's more overall, just getting the hang of understanding the differences.
Let's unpack it. What can you see happen when people haven't really been able to decode the job ad and they misinterpret what it might be like?
Job ads can overhype the role to begin with. So you might be really, really, really excited about a role that may not actually be worth your excitement. Like it can oversell. Sometimes they can make it sound like everything is a positive. Everything about that company and that role and that vacancy and that project or whatever it is a good thing. It's so, so, so exciting. It's the perfect time to join. Your team is amazing. Everything's amazing.
Yeah. And that can be a real trap to putting the job on the pedestal, putting a lot of pressure on getting it. You're just obsessed with the job before you've even had an interview and got to understand what it would be like more. I think the best job ads include a healthy dose of here's what kind of sucks about this job. And credit to the public service. When you download their position description document, it has headings that are like key challenges, key problems of this job, who you report to. Like it really is giving you the benefits and then the downsides. It's quite balanced.
Which is important. I think sometimes recruiters have this mindset of like, they need to sell all of the positives and like ignore all of the stuff that's maybe challenging. The right kind of person for a role will be motivated by those challenges. If they're like, oh, there's a lot of workarounds, there's a lot of problems that you have to solve. Some people are like, cool, I love it when there's problems to solve. I get really bored when I have to follow the process every day. Other people are going to go, oh, thanks for telling me. I'll go to the next one. That's great. That's kind of what you want.
Yeah, you want to weed out people.
You want to let people kind of know what they're in for, yeah.
Is this in general that ads might just be selling the dream, or is there any telltale phrases that we see with this?
I think just like that you're really, really, really excited and it makes the role sound like it's absolutely perfect. I think that you should just have a little flag of like, oh, okay, no job is perfect. Just tread with caution. I think the next kind is actually probably more common, where the ad will really underhype the role. It's just maybe really factual. They've taken it from the job description or the position description, which typically is more of like a PDF internal document with all the, you know, criteria and all these kinds of things. That's not the same. Well, it shouldn't be the same as what they advertise publicly. There's a difference between those things. The one that you advertise publicly should talk about the company. It should talk about, hey, who's in the team at the moment? What's currently going on? Versus the position description is much more factual and it's meant to be like more timeless. and it's, so it's not meant to include those kinds of details. And your position description also shouldn't have stuff in it about like who this might be right for, whereas the ad, you absolutely would want to see that. So they should be different things, but sometimes they're kind of like a copy and paste of the exact same info. And so that can really, really underhype the role. Maybe that team is like the most supportive, experienced team, and they all kind of work a little bit flexibly sometimes, and they've all got each other's back. And the ad just doesn't mention any of that stuff. It just says your responsibilities will include, but not be limited to blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you don't get any of that color.
I've seen this once where a casual position, I held the full-time position, an ad went up for a casual version of my role, and the dot points was so vague. It was like, we're talking for a radio journalist here. And it said, you know, an understanding of current affairs and a news sense, like the most vague. And I was like, someone from the outside would not read this and know that you have half-hourly news bulletins, that you're live presenting, that you're writing. Like, it just lacked any of the fundamental, like, would be required on the weekends. It just was the vaguest thing ever. And of course, when people started applying, the questions were flooding in of like, hey, what shift time? Are you writing as well as presenting the news? Like, it was really unclear. I think companies can get caught up in the jargon of thinking that everyone understands their industry, their positions.
Yes, completely. And so you've just nailed two of the next examples. It's overly complicated, but also lacks specifics. Now, you can have one or the other. In this case, it sounds like both. But it makes it really hard for you to understand, what is this job? What am I doing? Like, I can't understand or imagine this role. You're just saying, okay, I've got a news sense and I need to be on air. And you're like, sorry, what is this role? Like, what do I do? Oh, it's the person on the news every half hour. Oh, God, okay. Oh, wow, okay. Is it morning, evening? Like, I think they do news in the morning. And then you've got all these questions trying to work it out because the ad has left all these gaps.
Leveling up your job interview skills is the kind of thing that will pay off for the rest of your career. When you prep properly, it's something you can use over and over and over again. Think promotions, unexpected layoffs, and when you're ready for your next move in a few years.
Enter our course, Interview Academy. It's a clear, easy-to-follow interview prep structure. Everyone loves the cheat sheet. Filling in each box is super satisfying and helps you focus on the important thinking, not the process. Find out whether it's right for you, interviewboss.com.au/interview-academy. The link will be below. I think they can also make it really difficult for you to understand the seniority or the scope. I've seen this before when I've been talking to friends or family members and they're talking about maybe an internal promotion that's come up and they read the ad and they're trying to understand, okay, there's this role. It's a couple of levels above me, but like, hey, the ad kind of sounds like I could do that role. Like, you know, the bullet points are saying like, you know, some projects, some management of people, strategic direction, something or other. Like, they're a bit vague. And then they ask around a little bit internally and they find out whose role it is at the moment or who was in it previously or just some additional kind of internal context. And they go, oh my God, that person, that's like an executive role. Oh, wow. And then all of a sudden they have a better understanding of what that role actually is. And then they're going, oh, that's way too big for me. But reading the ad wasn't giving them that context at all. And I think that can be really challenging because that's how everyone gets a bit confused and how you can end up applying for things that aren't really worth your time or energy. Because even if you knew properly, even you would be like, oh no, that's like, I'm not there in my career. That's not like a shoot your shot scenario. That's like completely in the wrong realm. I wouldn't even want that. If you gave it to me, I'm not interested in that kind of level.
I think too, if the role is new, it's a new job, it can be really hard to get a good picture of what it is. This has happened to me before where a job that I applied for, the ad was like a bit vague and it had under the responsibilities, kind of a collection of things where some dot points sounded like what a media advisor would do. Other dot points sounded like internal relationship type, it was just a bit of a mixed bag. And then after interviewing, I realized that it was a new role. And it was like, this makes sense why even after having this interview, I still don't have a good idea of what the heck it is I would actually be doing here and why they struggled to convey that on a job ad.
Sometimes it does come from that, like that they actually haven't worked it out internally either. Definitely. And that makes it worse. And I would say if you get that feeling after an interview, like really ask yourself, are you comfortable kind of helping them define what that role is meant to do? And if the answer is no, maybe that's not the right role for you because it will be a bumpy road at first while you work out what everyone else was imagining that you were going to be doing and getting that all sorted.
Yeah, what the unspoken expectations are.
Everyone else thinking, are you stepping on my toes? Are you kind of crossing over into my area and you're kind of working out what everybody wants you to do? But I'd say it's most common that they do know exactly what they want. They're just terrible at explaining it or writing it in a way that anyone else is going to understand. It's actually kind of like the exact same problem that a lot of people have when trying to talk about their best bits. They do this same thing as well. Like they turn it into these bullet points of like, well, I was responsible for ensuring that everything was prepared in advance. And you're like, what does that mean? What are you saying? Everyone kind of does this when we suddenly have to make it like in a formal process. The real human words just leave us.
You kind of have to pretend that you're telling an alien. It's their first day on Earth. They don't know what anything is. They're a Martian. They're like, I have no humanly worldly context. And you have to just spell it out.
Yeah. I think this is particularly bad. And I think you should particularly listen to this episode more closely if you're trying to make some kind of a career change. Because it is much, much harder to do this translation and understand what the hell are they talking about? What is this role when you're looking at a different industry? Because sometimes the ads are written just as if they're talking to someone who's already in the industry. And so they already understand, like there's clues in there that you're not picking up that only someone who works there would be like, oh, okay, well, if it reports to that person, oh, that makes sense. Yeah, I get what that role's kind of doing. Versus you're not going to be able to understand that from the outside. So it makes it difficult. So what are we going to do about it? There's not really a list of like, look for these phrases. Like this is a more overall type of skill. And I think it's helpful for you to practice this in your local area, relevant to your kind of ads that you're going to come across. So I thought we could go through some ideas, Em, of what's going to help. One, you actually already touched on. If your role was ever advertised, maybe you applied for it, or is ever going to be advertised, have a look at the ad and compare it to what you know about that role versus what the ad is actually saying. And just start to get a sense of, okay, what are the things that they aren't mentioning? What are my favorite things about this role? Are they in there? What are the real challenges of this role? Are they in there? What are they asking for in terms of skills and experience? Do I think that all of those things are absolute, cannot go without requirements of my role? Like it really helps you translate because you've got the actual behind the scenes knowledge. So you can compare to what a stranger would see to the real life behind the scenes.
Compares your market, the little meerkats.
Yeah, exactly. What else? How else are we going to get job ad literacy?
Maybe just read a heap of job ads and go through and have a little flag color matching exercise, green flags, red flags, get familiar with the kind of themes that you're seeing. Yeah. And after you've had a look at yours, look up like another role within your company where you might not have ever done that before, but you have a good idea on what that person does. You've got the insight, or maybe a job that you used to have in the past.
Do they do a good job of explaining it, do you think? And what impressions would you have if you just read the ad versus knowing what you know about that role behind the scenes? Would you get the same impression? Would it be accurate? Or would you be left with all these kind of questions and really maybe a bit confused by reading the ad?
Maybe quiz your family or household. If your partner is in a field, look up their job role. Get them to read the role and paint a picture of what they would assume it would look like or any gaps that they see.
Yeah. Anyone whose job you understand, even a little bit, it doesn't have to be, you know, something brand new to you. It could be something that you really understand what someone does because you're a customer there or your friend works there or you're someone you know is involved with the business or anything that you're kind of vaguely familiar with, have a look at the ad for that role, comparing things that you know on the other side to what the ad looks like. I think it will help you undo some of the assumptions that you have when you're reading through the ad. I see this a lot when people come through coaching sessions or they have questions and things. They're taking the job ad as complete 100% gospel on everything that role does and doesn't include. And it's only ever going to be a bit of a snippet, a bit of an intro. Sometimes it's not even a very good summary.
Yeah, definitely. You have to take it with a grain of salt. I'm thinking about if I was doing this exercise with my partner, he's a carpenter. So if I got a heap of construction carpenter jobs up and they were for builders and different building companies, I bet he would pick out things like, oh, well, it doesn't say whether they do new builds or renovations, or he'd say, oh, well, how big are they? Are they small? Are they, how many houses are they making a year? Because if they're the kind of massive company that, you know, whacks up 300 houses a year compared to more custom homes where it's two or three a year, he has preferences on whether he wants to work. He likes to work on a lot of projects. He hates being stuck at the same job for most of a year. So those would be the clues that he'd be looking for. Those insights will help you. And because you know the people in your life, you'll be able to get a good understanding.
Completely. And that's exactly what I mean by being in the industry. Someone like that will be able to spot instantly, yeah, I know that sounds like a cool job, but actually it means this, 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 and they're reporting to this person. And I think I know that company. I think they're really small. So when they say you're managing, oh, what that it would actually mean is whatever. And I don't like that thing. Like, there's context to the ad that you're not necessarily picking up. And I think that is really, really, really helpful to start to unpick that association that you have on, like, oh, well, that sounds boring. Probably most jobs sound boring unless they've got someone on the other side really putting in effort to their ads. And I don't think that that's the majority.
Don't you often say that the jobs that you've loved the most had the worst ads?
1,000,000%. Absolutely. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, when I started there, I made the ads good. So that certainly wasn't the case for the people that came after me. But yeah, absolutely. They are companies, industries, jobs, things that did not sound interesting or attractive whatsoever, but they were the ones that I loved the most. This is some of the reason that working with a recruiter can be really helpful, because they know this stuff that will actually matter to you, and they can do that kind of matching. We've talked about that in some of our episodes previously. They know that stuff and what matters to the company and what matters to you, and they can understand all that extra context and that may not be present in an ad. If everyone just wrote better ads, this would be a lot easier, but they don't, and they're not going to fix it overnight. And hey, I've done my bit from the other side to try and make that the case, but we're here to help give you the skills. So I want to know, was this a bit of a light bulb moment for you? Has it changed the way that you think about reading job ads? Are you going to start kind of unpicking a little bit, changing what you're spending time on applying for? I have a theory that a lot of people are applying for the really well-written ads, lots more people. And of course they are. That's why you write a well-written ad, so that you get more people to choose from and then you can find the best candidate, right? But what does that mean if you're trying to land your next role? Maybe your effort is better spent on the underhyped ads. I don't know.
It's not always the sexy jobs that are sexy in real life. Some jobs are catfish.
Yeah, catfish in reverse.
Somebody call MTV.
What's a reverse catfish?
Catfishing is when you look really good and then you're not that good in person.
Yeah, but then the reverse catfish, when you don't look really good and then you are really good.
Oh, yeah. What is that? Like a trap. A pleasant, it's a lucky dip. It's a pleasant surprise.
Like a mystery book or a mystery box.
Mystery shopper.
Yeah. Not a mystery shopper. Mystery shoppers are horrible. Anyone in retail just got a shiver up their spine.
Good luck.
Thanks for listening to Interview Boss. If you want to request an episode on your specific conundrum or industry, send us the details, email us, or slide into our Instagram DMs. But if you DM us on Instagram and you're not following, Emma won't be happy and she will judge you.
I really will.
We believe in paying it forward. So if we've helped you, spread the word. You know the drill. Follow, review, find us on Instagram and LinkedIn. It all really helps. Or go the old school way and tell someone else about the show. Can you believe we started Interview Boss in 2021?
Not really. It's insane. That's a lot of episodes and a lot of hours of talking.
Oh my gosh, it is. And if you're scrolling through all of our episodes, you might scroll straight past something that you really, really needed.
Yes, we're always getting messages from people asking us to do an episode on something. And I'm like, we already have.
So we've put together playlists to help you find the episodes that are exactly what you need, suited to your situation.
They're all categorized. If you're applying for jobs, we have episodes about resumes, cover letters, job ads. If you've been offered your dream job, we have episodes on resigning, exit interviews, and how to impress at your new company.
And we even have a very special playlist that's very popular for if you have an interview coming up immediately and you need just our most recommended hard-hitting episodes between now and then.
For all our last-minute listeners. It's all there for you. You can browse by category and check out all the playlists at interviewboss.com.au/podcast.